This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I, for one, I feel like I say this every episode, but that just got me so excited for the WNBA season.
But it's okay.
I'm just so excited. I just have a lot of excitement in me.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court.
And court.
Is in session.
Is in session. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Order, order, order in the
so
court.
Oh, that was so bad.
I know. It is. It's okay. It's endearing. We love it. It's us. Gosh. Order in the court because the WNBA draft was last night and dreams were coming true before our eyes. So many little rookies with WNBA hopes and dreams were getting drafted. I kind of just want to hear your initial thoughts because we were watching from home. We weren't there physically, but the environment was different from the past 2 years that I have gone in person. They were at a different location in Brooklyn. Fans were there. Just the setup was different. And I really liked it. I liked hearing the crowd cheering, seeing the line wrapped around the building of fans and jerseys and memorabilia. I liked it. What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it. I'm laughing because I'll just say it. Damn. Like, finally, it's kind of how I feel.
It's been a while.
Well, you know, every year the draft is different and there are different players that people are excited about. I thought this one to me, and it's not to compare it to the NBA or anything else, but I thought this one for me, especially not being there in person, seemed more like an actual draft, right? Mm-hmm, the way it should be, with fans in attendance and fans getting an opportunity to cheer on their faves or boo their picks when they're made. Because that's what happens. Right?
Yeah,
The team makes a pick and they're like, oh, why did we pick her and not her? You know, not that I heard any boos at all. But I did. Just watching on television actually made me like proud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good to watch. And I thought it was great. My hopes are that moving forward, this is the standard. This is what will happen. The WNBA will continue to sell tickets, have people in the audience, because I thought the energy and the excitement, you could just feel it through the television.
Right. I mean, and the demand is there. Those tickets sold out, I think, in like 15 minutes or something like that when they did go on sale. So
yeah,
it was awesome. And one moment where Marquisha Davis, you know, she got drafted by the New York Liberty.
Yeah.
And Holly Rowe was like, turn around. You're in New York. This is your city. And hearing the fans just welcome her right then and there was such a cool moment. I think my only question that I had, and I don't know if you know the show, could the people in the audience hear the ESPN set? That was my, like, could they hear Rebecca? Okay, our producer Alex is saying yes. So when they were talking about who they should pick and who would be a good fit, like, they could hear all of that. So that was a little awkward when they're saying, hey, this team should pick this person. And then if they didn't get picked, it was like, I don't know what to do. I'm sitting here.
But you know, so
that was a little awkward.
And the only reason why I'm saying I think they could, because there were a couple of times when the camera was panning and I don't know if it was Rebecca, Drea, Ryan, somebody said something and I saw a couple of looks on either the players' faces or some of the people that were in attendance, like, like, why did you say that? Or why would you ask? I don't know. I just, that part to me did seem a little awkward. And and I can't imagine being a player, right, in that room. And one, hearing them just constantly go on and on and on and on about you, right? Yeah, it's a great feeling, but it's like enough already. And then if they have something that's not so good to say, you're like,
right. Yeah. Like, you can't acknowledge it. You have to pretend like you don't just hear them either rattling off all your accomplishments or talking about what you still need to get better at. And you're just like, let me just sit here with my family.
It
was a little awkward. The set last year when we were there was, you know, right next to us, but it was going on simultaneously and we couldn't hear anything. I was like, oh, maybe they just have music playing, but in between picks, like maybe they have something else, but no, they could hear. Okay. All right. Well,
interesting.
Very, very interesting. But any surprises of the night for you? I think we had a lot of mock drafts floating around. So the first, like, four picks, which of course, if you were under a rock, Caitlin Clark went to the Indiana Fever, Cameron Brink, the Sparks at the three pick, Cardoso to Chicago Sky, Rekia Jackson to the Sparks, JC Sheldon to Dallas Wings. Those are the top five picks. But any surprises for you throughout the night?
Here was my biggest surprise, I think. Let me see. I got a lot of stuff I wrote down here.
Yeah, let's go through the notes.
Well, the fact that, one, I did not see, I don't get caught up in mock drafts. I just don't.
Yeah,
I know who just, this is where she's going and great if it works out. And I just don't get caught up in it. I was surprised that JC Sheldon went five to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I saw that coming at all. I think Dallas is loaded with guards. I was surprised by that. And the second biggest surprise, to be very honest with you, I was surprised that Chicago was able to get Angel and Camilla. What a hell of a duo. I love when Camilla was like, we're going to get all the rebounds. Yeah, that one. Not only was I surprised by that, I kind of feel like that was like kind of like a steal for Chicago.
It was. And I think I was just overall surprised that, you know, again, the mock drafts, what I was looking at, Rekia was in that third spot. And so it was going to Camilla drop to four. But I wonder, with the final four and how she performed, like, she moved up. Chicago came in with the plan, because we have to mention that they did a last minute trade to get that number seven spot in the draft. And I think it's because they thought they could get Angel Reese, and they yeah. traded, they made it happen, and they got Camila Cardoso and Angel Reese.
And it worked out.
An interesting tidbit about that, because we know that they were battling anytime South Carolina and LSU were playing, but they both wear number 10. So who's going to get number 10? I hope they make them battle for it in practice too, because, you know, people are sentimental about their jersey numbers.
So well, they are. They are. They are. And I mean, speaking of jerseys, I know we're not there yet, but it's the same thing with Tosh Cloud going to Phoenix.
Oh, you know, Sophie, I know.
Sophie's number 9.
Ooh.
And Tosh, like, that's like her brand, Cloud 9. So Ooh. Right I now, love it. She does not have number 9. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens there. But anyway, to your point, yes, players are very sensitive when it comes to jersey numbers. I've seen a whole lot. I took a break from social media because there's just so much on there. I love this. I love Camila and Angel together in Chicago. And I also love it because, call it what you want, I think Chicago's in a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you look at the players who've left, players who they have. So when I look at that, I'm like, there's not that much pressure on the two of them to come in and immediately, like, take their team to a championship. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It yeah. is a rebuild. And then having, I love Spoon being that coach that is going to lead these two rookies. Man, when you talk about other players and what they can do and scoring and all that, Spoon has always been a defender. She's defensive minded. She drafted two of the best that have played in the college game on the defensive end. That team's going to be fun to watch.
And not only that, like, not only the basketball part, I think I get more excited the non-basketball part, what Teaspoon is going to be able to do for Camila and Angel. But I really feel like Angel, like, I just yeah. feel like yeah. Spoon is going to be able to pour into Angel just as a Black woman, just Absolutely. As somebody to navigate this space and someone that just knows their stuff. And when we talk about the draft, it's not always about what pick you go, what order you go. It is a lot about fit. And we talk
no
about that
doubt
all the
about
time. You could go, we're going to talk about it. Some people that went in the second and third round, but they have a great fit mm-hmm. for a team. They have a chance to make the mm-hmm. roster. So mm-hmm. it's a lot mm-hmm. about where you go, not when you go. And
that
when I think of Angel,
important.
Yes, she went 7. She's a top 10 draft pick. Yes. But I feel like even some people who may be new to the WNBA space is like, Angel should be higher. No, she went to the perfect place. Like, it was the perfect moment at the perfect time. So it's a lot about fit. And I really like this Teaspoon, Camila. That's a tough backcourt.
I do too. You know, and the thing with the two of them, because we talk a lot about, you know, rookies going to the league. And that's from 1 through, I don't even know how many it was. What was it, 36? I don't know. It's yep. for every rookie that's going to the W. It's an adjustment, period. I don't care how good you were, how great you were. It's an adjustment. And mm-hmm. so when I look at Camila and Angel, the thing about their game that I think translates immediately, they rebound the heck out of the basketball. Right? Like, rebounding yep. to me isn't something that you necessarily teach. It's about having a knack for the ball. It's about wanting it more than your opponent. It's about just going to get it hard, will, all of that. And those two, that's what they bring, right? They're immediately going to bring that to Chicago. And then to your point, Jordan, you throw in Spoon, right? A former player, played for the Limp. Just her resume speaks for itself. But I love the thought of her being, you know, she reminds me a lot of Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
right? Dawn being able to pour into her players and her players run through a wall for her and just appreciative of who she is, what she's done, how she is. Something to say, like a mom to them. And that to me is exactly what Spoon's going to be able to do, and like her or not. And it's for both of them, but especially Angel. Angel has gotten like such a bad rap, I feel, since last year. So I couldn't imagine her being in a better situation because Spoon gets it. Spoon's going to wrap her arms around this young lady, both of them, well, the whole team. Yeah. But she's going to wrap her arms around Angel and say, listen, let me lead you. Let me show you how this works. And you are going to be great. And Angel is so willing and open to wanting. And she said it. She wants to learn from vets. That's not just her teammates. That's her coach. So yeah. I think it's a great situation for her. And I'm excited to see what happens.
I also want to throw out there, their 13th pick was Brenna Maxwell from the WCC, from Gonzaga, a knockdown shooter, and you put post players with a knockdown shooter. Like, I think Chicago won the draft for me. I feel like we've been talking about them. I think they won the draft for me. Do you have anyone else that was a winner before we jump to break?
I do. Like, I know we could talk about this forever. So let me just say this about Brenna Maxwell. Is it another Allie Quigley? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who knows what Allie is going to do? I don't know. But yes, love that. Ooh. So I have two. I think Nika Mule is the perfect fit for Seattle. I think she's the perfect fit for Seattle. I'm going to say... my biggest sleeper, I got to put an S on it. I think Vegas got a steal in,
De'Asia Fair.
Sorry, I want to say right. I think Vegas got a steal in De'Asia Fair. Just her gait, like she's a dog. She's a baller. She just, I think Vegas got a steal in her. And you mentioned her earlier, Markeisha Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is a talent that not many people are talking about. And I'm excited to see what she's able to do in the W. I just thought from top to bottom, every player that got drafted, I think they went where they're supposed to go. We talk about this all the time. The unfortunate thing is, and I'm not saying it's any of the draftees, somebody's getting cut.
I know.
I'm just saying, whether that's the rookies, whether that's vets, whether that's, you know, players who've been there for a minute, just it is what it is. So training camp is going to be competitive. Can't wait.
So competitive. I can't wait. I want to talk to you more about that, but let's take a quick break real quick. Welcome back to Queens of the Court, and we're just so giddy. We just have so much to talk about, and I want to go to the team's view right now. Maybe zoom out a little. All of these fits, just like you said right before we went to break, I want everybody to make it. I think everybody deserves to have a chance, but there is limited spots. That's the reality that we are in right now. This month, until the season starts, is going to be war. Quick reminder of the timeline. April 28th, training camp starts. May 13th, final roster cuts have to be made. May 14th, regular season begins. We have a month for coaches, GMs to formulate these teams to be the best possible to what I think is trying to beat the Aces. Can this team beat the Las Vegas Aces? I think that's kind of what everyone has in their mind.
Yeah.
And the first question I have for you, good segue, which team looks the strongest post-draft? To me, it's the Aces still.
Yes, no doubt. And I'm not just talking about the returners, right? I mean, I just mentioned, I think she can make that squad. I do. And then when I look at, I mean, Kitley, does she make it? I'm not sure. But their picks that they got, I kind of feel like they were steals. And
yes.
Kate Martin, right? Like, not a lot of people talking about Kate Martin, but I kind of felt like Kate Martin in the Final Four and in the tournament period. But, like, she was, of course, everybody's talking about Caitlin, but Kate Martin was one of those players that just, she just does everything. She mm-hmm. plays hard. She rebounds. She seems to be a good teammate. She is one of those players that could kind of be that fit, a missing piece, if Vegas has a missing piece.
I know. But
I don't know. Let me ask you.
Because there's some players, you know, when you look at the Aces roster, and we're talking about they signed Bree Beal in the offseason to a training yes. camp contract. Yes. They brought in Megan Gustafson. Yep. They brought in Bria Hartley. Some of these vets that are still trying to get in rotations places. And then they also drafted Angel Jackson from Jackson State, only the second HBCU player to be drafted in the last 20 years. So just have to shout her out. But some of these players that are maybe rotation players, like Kirsten Bell, who maybe doesn't get a lot of minutes.
Kirsten Bell will be on the squad.
She'll be on the squad.
She will be.
Two-time
Kirsten Bell is a knockdown shooter, KB. And she can just flat out stroke the ball. We love you, KB.
I'm sweating over here just thinking about it because I think they have, if they just take their all the people that don't make the team and they make another team, like they would have the strongest B team.
I know.
We also talk about fit. You haven't
Bree Beal, Jordan. I know you mentioned her, forgot about her. Does Bree make this team? Here's my thing. When you start looking at the current roster and the draft and players are coming in, and then there'll be players who will get invited to training camp. You can't go into training camp with the mindset of, I really gotta go in and score the basketball, right? You're there for a reason. Example, Bree Beal, you've been known as a defender when you were at South Carolina, right? Yep, her shot got better. But when I look at just her in Vegas, for an example, I can see her being that defensive lockdown player alongside Alicia Clark. Alicia is getting older, right? Mm-hmm. Alicia could be a great vet for Bree to learn under. I don't know. I'm putting this out here because I'm trying to find a way for all these players to make the team.
So I'll get on.
But, I'm just sitting here looking at this roster right now. Just give me a second. Bree Beal, Kirsten Bell, Alicia Gray, Sid Colson, Diasia Fair, Chelsea Gray, Megan Gustafson, Bria Hartley, Angel Jackson, Morgan Jones, Elizabeth Kaley, Kate Martin.
Woo!
It's just a lot. It's a lot.
And then it's like, yeah, you know, Asia Wilson, Jackie. Like,
yeah, I didn't even mention
Candace
them.
Parker coming back.
Them.
Like, are you kidding?
Didn't even mention them.
They
yeah.
are still the yeah. strongest team. And it's
no doubt.
It's everyone else in the free agency has been building teams to combat them. And one of those teams is Seattle. NECA going in free agency to Seattle. Skylar Diggins-Smith going to Seattle, of a team that already has a rising star in Ezzy. You have Jordan Horston, who, again, talk about perfect fit from last year's draft, just exploded there. That's somewhere that Nika Mühl is going, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is also a defensive lineup. Noel Quinn loves defense. And you have yes. Jewel there too. NECA, Ezzy, Skylar, Jewel, NECA, Horston. That's a lot. You got Sammy Woodcomb also on that roster. Yeah. I mean.
Well, and then so they picked up, just because I'm looking, Elena Coates, Kayla Davis, Joyner Holmes.
Mm.
Victoria Vivian. Kiana Williams is there. I don't know.
So much talent. I Is but there a team?
That should be every team's mindset, though.
Yeah.
Who do we need to add to have a chance to beat the Vegas Aces? That should be the question.
Mm-hmm. I think of the Fever as well, because yeah, that's also a team that I just get excited about seeing how it's all going to fit together. Because even this time last year, when Aaliyah Boston got drafted, we were having the same, the same conversations that like they're on the up. They are. And I talked to Lynn Dunn. She's like, we're getting better. We doubled our wins from 2 years ago.
No doubt about it. They're getting better.
They're going to keep getting better. Nalissa Smith is going to keep getting better. Lexi Hull, who was maybe that surprise draft pick like a Kate Martin a couple years ago, just shocked everybody. She wasn't even at the draft. She is still on a roster and making strides with the Fever. And they are just, they add Caitlin Clark in there with her passing. And she even said it at the draft. I'm just going to feed Aaliyah Boston all day. Are you kidding? That sounds like a dream job. That
they're
is going
not
to be
what
young.
She's
going to
do all day, Jordan.
She also going to shoot that thing too.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, I heard it too, but I was like, no, you're not. That no. And you know what? And Lynn and Christy are going to be screaming, yelling, saying, "What? Wait a minute. What are you doing?" But listen, let me because we're on the Fever, let me also bring up this other player. Because when I look at their roster, right? Yeah, we know there's Aaliyah Boston, Nalissa Smith. Those are two of their bigs. They have Damaris Dantes is there, and Victoria Saxton, who was South Carolina, who was still there. So they got some bigs defensively. But when I look on the perimeter, besides Lexi Hull, because I was very fortunate to get to watch Lexi play again in AU, and I've always been a fan. I love her game. Offensively, she can score the ball. Defensively, she plays hard, typically draws the assignment of defending the other team's best perimeter player. Grace Berger. Grace played a few minutes last year. I got to watch her play at AU this year. I'm a fan. She's another one. I love how hard she plays. But I was talking about the defense because we know the paint, Nalissa Smith, Aaliyah Boston, you know, they're going to patrol the paint. But when I look on the perimeter, I'm like, where is the defense really coming from? Right?
Yeah.
Celeste Taylor.
Yeah.
Who they drafted could find herself making this squad if she can go into training camp and be a lockdown defender. And absolutely, she can score the basketball. But I try to look at what separates you from every other player on that team. What do you bring that's different from what other players bring on that team? And Celeste Taylor is a pretty good defender. And when you look at the guards on this squad, they need somebody else who can come down and, I mean, come in and be that lockdown defender. And could it be Celeste? Maybe. But I like that pick. I like that pick for them.
I like
it's just
that.
So
they also
hard
got...
when you look at the roster, though, you know? Yeah.
They got Katie Lou Samuelson also in free agency from the Sparks. So just another shooter. Kelsey Mitchell is continuing to be great.
Kelsey is going to be Kelsey. Absolutely.
Have a lot.
Love Kelsey Mitchell.
Of course. I saw something that said between the Fever and the Aces, they have the top four all-time NCAA scores just on those two teams. Isn't that crazy? Woo!
Wow.
So that means
who's going to be playing David?
Great point.
We know they're going to be shooting the ball.
Okay, so on the opposite end, what team still needs something? Like, even though they got a lot in free agency, they still are missing some pieces. I have one. If you need to think for a second, for me, it might be the Mystics.
No doubt it's the Mystics. I have two, actually.
Oh, look at that roster. We know, you know, Elena Deladon is on the roster, but she said that she's not going to play the season. She tried to get something in free agency. Didn't happen. So she's like, I'm just going to take a break. You have Shakira Austin, who is a bona fide star. Like, she is going to keep getting better. Brittany Sykes had a breakout offensive year last season. They got Carly Samuelson in free agency. You got Ariel Atkins is going to be a bucket. But I'm like, we still need more. Aaliyah Edwards was their draft pick. I love it. I think she's going to be able to come in and play right away. They got Kaylin Trong, also from Gonzaga, who's a knockdown shooter, point guard. But I'm like, that team is not enough to beat the top teams in this league. It's not enough.
And they got, DeeDee Richards, who for me is more of a defender, right? I love Emily Inksler.
Yes.
I know she's going to training camp. I totally agree with you on the Mystics. And I'm going to put another one out here that people may be like, what? I think Phoenix is still missing something.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I do. So I look, I'm going to just kind of talk about some of their players. I do love Rebecca Allen. Love that they got Rebecca Allen. You got Tosh, who loved me some Tosh. Ka.
Interesting. How do you look at that? Just those players.
Because I'm going
with the BG. Okay. And they still miss some people.
Here's my question. Who's your bench? I mean, because if I look at the roster, right? So I'll just say probably who's starting. Yep, you got BG, you got Diana, you got Tosh. Does Rebecca start? Does Ka start? So just say those.
Ka is starting. Kalia Cover is starting on my team.
She's starting on mine too, but this ain't my team. But I'm just saying. So my question is, if those are your five starters, who are you bringing in off the bench?
Listeners, you are hearing us think in real time. You can hear the wheels turning in our brain.
That's why I say I think Phoenix is still missing not a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're missing a couple more players.
Huh. All right. Okay.
I didn't do that to you when you said Washington. So don't do that to me when I say Phoenix.
Fair. I just didn't think about it.
I agree with you. I did. No, but it's crazy when you think about it, because when I saw all of this movement in free agency, I was like, okay, Phoenix, I see y'all making moves.
But it's still okay. Another team that made a lot of moves, and I want to get your opinion on, is Atlanta, because Atlanta was a team that we were so high on
last year,
end of last year's draft.
We
don't even have to talk about those predictions. Alex, if you want to do a little flashback right here of me just being way too excited on Atlanta and the Mystics last year. But for the first time in franchise history, they only did international picks this draft. So they kind of, to me, when you pick international players, maybe some names that a lot of the common fan maybe don't know, is they're thinking for the future. Like a lot of those picks sometimes don't even,
right?
You know, they're playing overseas right now and they are not even thinking about the WNBA, but they want them on the roster for the future. And to me, that says we like what we have right now. And they brought over Jordan Canada. They brought Tina Charles out of thin air and added her to their roster. They got Ariel Powers with Ryan Howard, and like I like the movements, but do you think it's gonna work? That's my question for you. Do you think all of this movement is going to settle and work?
Ooh.
The silence.
I know, right? Here's what I think. Here's what I think. Jordan, let me get my thoughts together. Here's what I think. If players can accept the role that Coach T has for her, for them to play, yes, I think it can work.
Okay.
But if that doesn't happen, then we're going to be looking at a hot mess.
I think it could go really well or really bad.
Yes, because listen.
There's like no in between.
When you look at who they currently, well, who they had last year, obviously Ryan. Mm-hmm. Ryan Howard needs to be on the Olympic team. But Ryan Howard, Alicia Gray, those two, first of all, had incredible seasons. I'm a huge fan of Cheyenne Parker. I think Cheyenne mm-hmm. has been balling, right? So that's three. Nia Coffey, I think, is a great role player for them. They had LA. I think bringing Jordan Canada is a good fit for them because I think they need a really good point guard. And JC, I thought, had a great season last year. We talked about her with the Sparks. Mm-hmm. So then you bring in, I forgot Haley Jones. But then you bring in Ariel Powers. You bring in Tina Charles. Can those two players adjust their game, mm-hmm. their role to whatever it is that Tanisha needs from them at this stage of their career?
Yeah.
And so if that can happen, then I think the Atlanta Dream is a team that I know we talked about them last year, but they're a team that we're going to talk about this year. We're going to be right this time.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be right. Don't prove us wrong, ATL. Come on.
Okay.
Well, I'm always cheering for Jordan Canada, and I just feel like she's just going to be able to be a maestro and orchestrate everyone, put them where they need to be, mm-hmm. and make people better. Because when you have Ryan Howard and Alicia Gray, who are bucket getters, that's the scout. Okay, if we lock them down, everybody else is going to have to work really, really hard and step up. And I think Jordan Canada makes that a little easier and seamless. And I think they were right in the draft, I guess, that they were just like, we're going to work with what we got. We don't want to kind of add anything else into the mix. But it's accepting those roles. This stage of your career, that is key. This stage in your career. I talked to Leticia Amir, LA, from South Carolina. I talked to her at the Final Four and how tough that rookie year was for her. Not getting a lot of PT, but she feels more confident going into that second year. She knows what her role is on this team. She knows what she can bring now. So I'm also excited to see her make that rookie sophomore leap. And I think Haley Jones is also going to make that leap. And so that plus the vets coming in, again, really great, really great or really bad. Well, we'll see. We will see.
Well, so I'll tell you, and then before we wrap up, the other player, Haley Jones, right? I thought she had for a rookie, she had an okay season. But Haley and LA both played in AU. This season, and to watch their growth from the W season last summer to playing in AU just a month ago, was drastic. And to be able to see them come in and understand what they bring at this level and just how different it is, right? We just talked about that. It's a different level. It's a different beast. I think they now like understand where their strengths are, what they bring to the team. And just to watch that growth, that the 4 weeks they played in AU, I think is going to help them get ready for one training camp and absolutely be able to do more, bring more, and contribute more for the Atlanta Dream this season.
And shout out to AU, Alicia Gray won Athletes Unlimited
this past season. She surely
so
did.
She's also bringing in that confidence as well. All right, this has been so much fun. A lot to ponder, a lot to think about. We have one more section. We're going to take a quick break. All right, we're back. And as we're recording this, Cheryl is in her Comets hat.
She
has a fit on, and the fits at the draft were 10 out of 10. Like, come on. I love.
Hey, you went with 10 out of 10?
I went with 10 out of 10. Okay. I mean, I liked it a lot. I think it was, I love how some players went like super glam. Like, let's go full length gown. Yes, I love that. Then also Camilla in the red pantsuit.
My fave of the night.
Perfect. I thought she was going to come with the red hair too, but she was like, okay, I'll go black hair and then red. Oh,
the hair. It was perfect. For me, everything about her look, like it wasn't too much. The red was, it just said, I'm here. I've arrived. And then the way she had the hair laying, I like the black because it looked good against the red. Her makeup I thought was great, not too much. Yeah, that one, that was my fave. The red, she gave it to him. It was pretty.
Well, I would it be a Queens of the Court episode if we don't mention a Sid Colson tweet? I don't know. It just feels like right. We have to. I know she talked about how they were forced to wear business casual. I always wonder why those draft photos were so, like, the blazers were so stiff and the pencil skirts were so loud. And Sid said it was because of the very strict dress code. So now fast forward to Cameron Brink in this high slit black and white one shoulder, like,
oh man,
snaps everywhere. She's a model part-time, so she just was walking that orange carpet like it was a catwalk.
She looked beautiful.
Okay.
I know I said Cardoso was my favorite. I love the red. She rocked it. But Rekia Jackson, two of them. The red that she wore on the red carpet was beautiful, but the silver, I guess it was silver. I don't know. But
we were shining.
Oh, listen, the hair, the makeup, hair.
The swoops.
Gorgeous. I loved the way she carried herself, the way she talked, the way she interviewed, the way she looked, the way, come on. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm going to leave my girl off because Angel, you heard him. She heard him.
Oh, and she had a story. She said her outfit that she ordered for the draft came last week. It didn't fit. And so she just picked that fit on Friday.
Or
Monday. That's what she said. Hood, the face card never declines, the sparkle.
Everything about it was drop dead. Did I see a picture of her with a grill?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I thought I did.
She had the grill. The nails had like little bows on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Loved all of it.
You know that Angel was going to bring it, and she did not disappoint. And I, going back to Rekia for a second, I feel like her and Cam, how they brought it, I was like, yeah, they're going to fit perfect in LA. Like, it was very,
right?
We're Hollywood. We are the stars.
No doubt. No doubt. And so then let me also go here, because I know she wasn't like everywhere on the screen and pictures, but De'Asia Fair, her suit with the bow tie.
Woo! Sharp.
Listen, she heard them too. Heard them too. I just thought that. So I'm laughing because you're talking about Sid's tweet, right? I just saw someone that said, this is Anxious and Queer said, no. Why was this a student council meeting? There's a picture of the draft class. Is this Sid's class?
Yes.
Yes. And said this was a student council meeting. But it's funny because when you look at that picture and you look at where last night.
Where we are
night,
now. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's a difference.
Oh,
it's a. Oh, it's, my it's giving superstardom rather than student council.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It was great.
The look, it was, everybody, I thought was, yeah, they brought it. They understood it, the assignment.
I know. And also you have to think of like historic as well. Like this, I was going to study fashion. So this is like my fashion.
Okay, do tell.
Major, you know. So you have to also think of like the moment when the stylists were dressing. Like I think of Caitlin Clark, and the all white was historic. Like LeBron wearing his all white suit going number one. Brittany Griner wore all white suit going number one. Like the white is very, I am the first draft pick. And she also said Prada has never dressed men or women, NBA or WNBA, for a draft. So she was the first one. Prada down. I think of the pantsuits, it was just like you had to be for the moment, but at the same time, they all put their own individual personalities on it.
Sure.
Even Paige Beckers was in all white, and it was giving, I'm a future number one draft pick.
Sure.
Like there were messages behind it, and it was just fun. I was scrolling for hours just looking at everyone's outfits. It was snaps all around.
Yeah.
Snaps all around.
I approve.
Woo. Well, another draft in the books. And I, for one, I feel like I say this every episode, but that just got me so excited for the WNBA season.
But it's okay.
I'm just so excited. I just have a lot of excitement in me. And this just, it's starting. It's starting. We're a month away. We're going to break down what these teams are going to actually look like over the next couple weeks. But it begins now, like day one. I hope they're all in the gym today because they're going to need it.
Yeah, you better get in if you're not.
If you're not.
Well, you know, because here's the thing. When you get to training camp, you don't have time to get in shape, right? Like you have to come to training camp already in shape. And the other stuff that you do, it just adds on to what you've already been working on because it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. I do have one last thing I want to say. And
please.
I don't think we've recorded since then. So congratulations to BG and Sherelle. Right? On their pregnancy.
Yes!
I just saw, I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Congrats to the Griners.
Oh my gosh. Another baby. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh,
that is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah,
they deserve the world.
I don't think we've recorded since they made that announcement. So, okay.
No.
There. Yeah.
Oh, what a great way to end it. Congrats to BG and Sherelle. We love it. Well, thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for listening as we process things about teams in real time. The silence was loud.
I had to get my thoughts together. I had to make sure I was like, okay, let me see.
I hope we don't edit that out and someone's just like, oh, did they, is my earbuds messing up? No, it was Cheryl thinking in real time. I love it. Okay.
You put me on the spot on that one.
I love doing that. That's my favorite thing. But please continue to follow, rate, review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also send us questions, feedback to our listener email at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And you know where to find us on social media. I'm at AirSwoops22. And Jordan, she is at HeyJordanR.
I'm on routine. Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by Alex Ozzie. The executive producer is Lena Moss-Glazer. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Imaging from T-Storm Battle.
And court is adjourned.
Is adjourned. Booyah! That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one.